Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. It's hard to believe that the bloodiest battle in all of American history is mostly forgotten. But it is, and that's a huge mistake, says our guest Edward Lengel. He is author of To Conquer Hell, The Meuse Argonne, 1918. In it, he shows remarkable similarities between the United States' actions today and its role in World War I, of which this noteworthy battle was a part. As a military historian, Dr. Lengel is keenly aware that World War II overshadows World War I, but such forgetfulness is risky business, he says. World War I had a profound effect on a whole lot more than how wars are fought.
At the beginning of that war, the idea had always been that fighting is something that you do as a debt to your society. It's your duty to your society. World War I creates for the first time this idea that society also owes something to the soldiers, that there is a sense of entitlement, that it goes both ways. For the first time, the veterans really force society to realize that you need to help us, you need to help us get back into society, you need to support us and give us pensions. And it developed really that idea of the social contract.
Edward Lengel is an author and historian. In To Conquer Hell, he tells the soldiers' stories of the bloodiest battle in American history, including that of his cousin, portrayed by Cary Grant in the movie Sergeant York. Dr. Lengel's other military history books include General George Washington, A Military Life. Dr. Lengel received the National Humanities Medal in conjunction with the Papers of George Washington Documentary Editing Project, was a finalist for the George Washington Book Prize, and makes frequent appearances on television documentaries. Bill Russell and I were both impressed by the disturbing similarities between America's role in the world then and now. We seized the opportunity to explore both more thoroughly when Dr. Lengel's labor of love brought us together for this conversation. Edward Lengel, when I was little, I had a music teacher who adored children. In fact, I could read music before I could read words. She adored children. And I remember my mother, who was her good friend, saying somewhat carefully, "Well, Frances Sherwood, you love children, so why don't you have lots of your own or some?" And Frances Sherwood, may she rest in peace, said, "I lost my redheaded doughboy." And all these years later, that chill goes, and I said, "Mommy, what's a doughboy?" Thinking, you know, this is gingerbread or something. That was a larger truth, that when you're a little kid, you have no idea. To have lost one's redheaded doughboy as I grew up was a big category. Where did that category go?
It's disappeared. The doughboy has really disappeared out of our consciousness. And I can't understand why. I can speculate, but I don't know why. And I think so many families, if they take the trouble to look back, they have stories like that. I mean, my grandfather used to tell me about his uncle who had served in World War I. And he was with Pershing in the Mexican excursion. Now, a very healthy, handsome young man. Then they sent him over to fight in France. He came home. He was not counted as a casualty on the casualty rolls. Came home, and his lungs were destroyed by poison gas. And he died when he was only 42 years old.
People don't even remember what mustard gas and all of these other gases.
Phosphine and things we don't blessedly hear much about now.
Yeah, the First World War was just all about gas and all about all kinds of things we don't hear about. That was the First World War.
Right.
The war to end all wars.
Right.
Which, of course, is the other part of that. When I've gotten sort of accustomed to, okay, I'm an American, I don't know my history. First World War is just so a way you can talk about the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Going back and looking at the First World War, what have we missed?
I hate to say it, but I think one of the reasons Americans don't follow the First World War is because the entertainment value is low. Now, when Americans talk about World War I, if they talk about it at all, they're interested in the flying aces, mm-hmm. possibly in the volunteer ambulance drivers like Ernest Hemingway, But you get into all that nasty, bloody stuff
Sergeant York.
Sergeant York, you know, that's an inspiring story. You can have a Gary Cooper who will present that, in a really inspiring kind of way. But they don't want to hear about the trenches. They don't want to hear about the poison gas, which incidentally affected the Americans really more than any other combatant.
Because
their training was horrible. They didn't know how to use their masks. They didn't know how to react to gas. So they were just sent over there. And proportionately, a much larger number of Americans died of poison gas than did British, French, or Germans, if you look as a proportion of total casualties. That's true. But again, Americans just, they don't want to go there. Now, if you contrast that to the British, the French, the Germans, the Belgians, they still very much have that in their consciousness, and they remind their children, to get back to children again, they remind their children of this all the time.
I was taken with one of the many wonderful lines in your book, To Conquer Hell. You talked about how the Americans, this is 350 pages in, that things had gotten so grim that it was as if they'd been there 4 years instead of 4 months. Well, the Brits, the French, all of the imperial people, the people from New Zealand, the people from Australia, Senegal, you talk about the Senegalese, they'd been there for 4 years. And the Americans came in really late with huge numbers, although they thought it was going to be bigger numbers. And it's as if, it's another fad. And enormous numbers of people's lives ended and were affected brutally.
Right. And it's a shame and ironic and tragic the arrogance with which the American commanders in particular came into that war. There was, and you can draw modern parallels with this as well, that there was this unwillingness to listen, to learn, to find out what the Europeans had gone through, what the Europeans had suffered, and what they had learned. You know, the Europeans by 1918, the British and French in particular, had learned a lot. And in fact, their methods of handling this kind of fighting were much better. They had a way of minimizing casualties. The casualties were still horrendous, but they had a much better sense of combined arms and all this other stuff. And the Americans' attitude was, the Europeans, we don't have anything to learn from them. They've been, their morale has been ruined by war. All they want to do is hide in their trenches.
They don't think it's fun anymore.
Yeah, they don't think it's fun anymore. They don't have the, it's true. That's a blunt way of putting it, but it's true. Because they don't have the spirit. They don't have the gung-ho kind of spirit that we Americans can do.
I found myself early on in this book, one of these speeches about spirit, and I said, if somebody puts a gun to your head and pulls the trigger, all the spirit in the world is not going to do anything for you. And that is, in a lot of cases, pretty much what was happening.
I'm going to break so that we can come back and I don't have to interrupt again for a while. This is the Paula Gordon Show. It is our great pleasure, Bill Russell's and mine, to be with Edward Lengel. We're talking about the First World War, which he has focused in his book, To Conquer Hell, looking at one, and we'll talk about this when we come back in a moment, one very particular campaign that was crucial in the First World War and is remarkably current in its applicability. Be with us when we return.